estrophy or counterfeit pleasure. When all of this has been said, this quality can be summarized into two paragraphs. When we choose to use this sacred space of our mind to mentally rehearse, receive inspiration, explore, problem solve, and plan and set goals. Now, many teach that we should write down our goals and our plans. This is a very good idea. However, it may be interesting to know that many highly successful and abundant individuals do not need to write down their goals. Their goals are indelibly printed on their mind. Any recordation is simply for reference and is usually found in their personal journal. The experiences surrounding the establishment of a goal are often deeply personal. You know, others can spend inordinate amounts of time detailing their goals. If you choose to do this, just make sure that written goals are not just another to-do list, something else we must, should, have to, or need to do. Og states in scroll number 9, "My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. I will act now." He goes on to say that action is the tinder that ignites the paper, the passion-driven action, action born of vision. If the very act of writing down a goal is painful or it's arduous or boring or mundane or repetitious work, it may be an indicator that we're not writing in response to a clear vision. When we discipline this sacred space of our mind to mentally rehearse, seek inspiration, explore, problem solve, and plan and goal set, we will identify the ultimate dream and create a clear vision of all the steps between where we are now and our dream. There will be purpose in each step in each day's actions. Now, do we want our dreams to come true? If so, we will want our actions to be driven by passion. To ignite or sustain passion, where should we be focusing our time and energy today? What is the next step in bringing our dream to fruition? Here is the most effective and sustainable planning and goal-setting exercise I've ever experienced. We will apply it to creating a committed relationship, creating a companion, creating a business, and creating opportunity as an employee. Let's start with creating a loving relationship. I want you to close your eyes and go to age 85. Visualize where you will be. Experience your surroundings. Who is with you? How do you feel about this person? If you're struggling, go back in time to the last time you fantasized about an exotic sports car, a gourmet kitchen, or a pool overlooking the ocean, or a life free of stress and pain and debt. Remember how it felt to finally be above all the craziness with the time and financial freedom desired. Visualization has less to do with seeing actual pictures and more to do with being in that place, being in the experience. Now shift your focus from desiring to have things and focus on having a committed, deep, and lasting relationship with a companion. Think about all the years of sacrifice. Think about the love that has been cultivated and the trust that has been earned. Think about this being compounded over decades and culminating at this very moment in time. Just let it unfold. Look into your companion's eyes. Feel their heart. Look into their soul. Watch them breathe. Feel the gratitude for all the sacrifices. If you have never done this in reality or seldom do it, this could be an unusually poignant and tender moment, especially if you're a man who attempts to pretend they don't have such feelings, or a woman who seldom experiences this from a companion. The power that governs abundance may in fact be opening your heart and giving you an impression of what is possible with time and intentional creation. Look around. Where are you? What is the condition of your health? What is the condition of your finances? Explore each. Considering what you desire can assist you. Do you have children, grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren? If so, how often do they visit? Why do they want to visit? What have you done along the path from today to this moment in time, 85 years of age, to build this kind of relationship? Be open to impressions and inspiration. What are some of your fondest memories from your life that have occurred from this day to age 85? Experience what some of these events might have been like. And when you're ready, come back to the present. Relationships like this do not just happen. They are intentionally created. So ask yourself this question. What could I do on an annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly, and daily basis to intentionally create and sustain this kind of relationship? Now, here are some ideas to get your creativity flowing. Annually, plan 1 week just for the two of you. Now, stretch. What could you create? How could you create it? How will it serve your relationship? You're building a memory on which love can be sustained. So how could you show up in the planning and execution? Would you step into your companion's world? Would you show up to laugh and love and serve? Now, is anyone asking, but how do we pay for this? That's a great question. As ideas flow, you are creating a vision. When you feel excited about creating this vision in tangible reality, you will know that passion has just been ignited. You have just created an exciting reason to work a little harder during one of those times when you might have quit early. This passion will drive the needed action to bring your vision to fruition. You now have two visions that can assist you in sustaining passion. One at age 85 and another a year from now. Quarterly, plan a 3-day retreat. There are three things we all need: someone to love, someone who loves us, and something to look forward to. Almost anyone can do what has to be done if they know when rest and connection is coming. This event does not need to be expensive. It just needs to be scheduled and accomplished. I mean, camp in a tent if you must. Some might prefer that. But take time every quarter to gaze into each other's eyes and reconnect. We have already addressed financial costs. Perhaps you may ask about time. You will become increasingly productive and get more done in the time available when passion is driving your actions to create and execute a 3-day retreat. Just think about all the time you used to spend fantasizing and catastrophizing. Again, I save 3 hours a day when I stopped. How much can you find? Besides, it is more fun to plan a retreat than torment yourself about something for which you have little or no control. Now moving to monthly, on a monthly basis, spend a day together. What you do isn't as important as just doing it. Clear the calendar. Put away the cell phone. Turn off the computer. Now, I can feel some already going into panic. This is a time 100% devoted to each other. Walk, talk, read to one another, eat, curl up, take a nap. Give each other a foot massage, and whatever else may be appropriate. If you are really brave, ask your partner what they would like to do. And do that even if you don't care to do it. This time together can be some of the most tender and creative moments of your relationship. Earnestly ask in preparation, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Major productions can work, but often the simple moments, built on service, more than suffice. On a weekly basis, you can spend an evening together. This is non-negotiable, especially if you have children at home. But whether or not there are children, you need to get away once a week for connection. Wives with children, your husbands need you. Husbands with children, your wives need a break. Committed couples without children or grown children, There is too much that can happen in a week to pull you apart in different directions. You are saying to each other, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, on this night, we will be together, free of interruptions, free to connect, to feel, to love. You matter more than all of this craziness in our world. How familiar does this sound? You and your companion are about to engage in a non-planned date night. You get into the car. Does it ever sound like this? Where do you want to go to eat? I don't know. What sounds good to you? I don't know. You want to see a movie after? Sure. What movie would you like to see? I don't know. What's showing? This is exciting. Sounds more like two exhausted people in need of rest. If you've been there, be okay with it. Sometimes it can be like this. Just reach over and take your companion by the hand and say, I am so glad to be here with you. This is the most important thing tonight. Let's just shut out the noise of the world, be in the moment, and have fun, whatever it is that we do. Daily, we can take a few minutes to connect with each other. Create daily traditions such as walking and talking, reading a chapter or two from a good book, and praying together. Take a few minutes each day to intrinsically validate your companion by listening for doors, consciously stepping into their world, and creating a safe place for connection and healing. Consciously let go of the need to be right and to find fault and to fix. Do little acts of kindness, such as writing notes or just holding each other a little longer than normal and whispering, I love you, followed by a tender kiss. Imagine having these calendar items on your schedule for the day. Daily, intrinsically validate my companion. Weekly, plan a Friday night date, something fun. Monthly, all set, Sally's watching kids. Only 10 days until Nirvana. Quarterly, call again to check on the availability of XYZ. Annually, begin planning tonight over dinner. Can you think of a single thing more important in a day than creating these moments and memories? If you connect on a daily basis, have a non-negotiable date night each week, invest an entire day in service to your companion on a monthly basis, get away every quarter for 3 days, and spend 1 week a year together and away from the world, what are the chances that you'll keep challenges in proper perspective? Respond with kindness and love. Minimize those cold moments of silence. More quickly break through to the light of understanding. And eventually realize in tangible reality the relationship you dream about creating. Dreams do not just happen. Success does not just happen. Happiness does not just happen. They are intentionally created. Next, I'd like to address a very sensitive issue. I've entitled it Creating a Companion. As you're not in a relationship and you want one, it's time to learn how to create one. Several years ago, I began a coaching engagement with one of the most amazing human beings I know. He was just coming out of a bad relationship and taking the first steps to conquer a debilitating addiction. We talked often about his desire to have a trusting, committed and loving relationship. We visualized and identified the woman he would want to have in his life and what it would be like to be with her. We then visualized and identified what that woman would want in a man. We then did an inventory of what he would need to do to become that man. Over the months that followed, my new friend kept his vision alive by staying focused on what he could create, how he could create it, and how this would serve both him and his future companion. Many creative ideas, impressions, and solutions were manifest to assist him in creating a new life while avoiding old, deeply entrenched habits of thinking and acting. There were significant sacrifices and lonely nights and long days, but better lonely than in violation of his dream. passion-driven? He was intentionally creating the man he wanted to become in order to find the woman he wanted to have as a companion. He became increasingly congruent with his dream and, frankly, increasingly whole, complete, and joyful. He was a new man with a clear vision. The day finally came. I will never forget the joyful phone call. He had acquired the ability equal to the opportunity, and just like clockwork, the door of opportunity opened. The woman of his dreams, who had been on a parallel journey, stepped into his life. Instant soulmates. It was as if they had known each other over 1,000 years. My friend intentionally created this result and now lives a life that far too many only fantasize about. Some might say, but the man has more control over dating situations. Well, I shared with you his preparation. I could have shared a similar story about her preparation. She, too, acquired the ability equal to the opportunity, and the power that governs abundance brought them together. My friend needed to overcome several chemical and lifestyle addictions. It took courage and determination. He was willing to let go of any negative tether that was holding him back from the relationship he had clearly seen while in visualization. It is possible, unless we choose to make change impossible. Again, happiness does not just happen. It is intentionally created, and most often, it begins with fundamental shifts in the way we're thinking and behaving. Now let's apply this planning and goal-setting process to creating a business. Do you own a business or want to start one? Early in my entrepreneurial career, I started a medical management firm. We specialize in assisting young doctors to set up their new practices. We developed business plans, negotiated business loans, located appropriate office space, negotiated leases, designed and built out tenant improvements, hired and trained staff, and managed the ongoing operation of the practice. Determined to save the world, many of these young doctors were idealistic and altruistic, an admirable trait. Fees were charged and billed with accuracy, but when it came time to collect past due bills, there was fear about offending delinquent patients. This challenge was more common when there were still funds available in the loans and prior to the payment of their malpractice insurance the second year, but often we would have the following conversation. Even though you are in the business of healing, this is a business. You have expenses related to running your business and supporting your desired lifestyle. You charge fair and well-documented fees for services provided. You're a well-respected doctor. To continue serving those who are in need of your services, we will need to keep this office open. That will require that we collect the fees charged. Trust that it will be done with dignity, but the fees must be collected. This may sound patronizing, but it is simply the truth. No matter how emotionally attached we are to a business, it is a business and must charge for products and services and collect those fees. On the other end of that spectrum, there can be an occasional bad apple. In these situations, we would be asked, I want you to tell me every procedure I can do for a given diagnosis so that I can maximize billing and collection. And often as Adam looked to Eve for giving him the apple, they would end their request with, my wife wants a new house and I need to generate an extra $200,000. Fortunately, these were rare moments. But somewhere in the middle of these two scenarios lies the truth. Business is about serving people well, accounting properly, collecting fees that are due, and creating a worthy and thriving business. Now, in today's business climate, it may be best to focus our financial dreams on an annual schedule. Being flexible and fluid in today's economy, able to shift on a dime if needed to meet the ever-changing needs of our customers, seems to be a wise thing to consider. For this reason, I will apply the process of planning and goal setting to a single year. The first question you want to ask is, how much money do you want to make in the next 12 months? Now get clear, be realistic, and write it down. Once you've written this down, the next question, how many lives would you need to impact to create this revenue? Now explore different scenarios to identify one that resonates. Get clear and write it down. How much money would you like to make in the next 12 months? And how many lives would you need to impact to create this revenue? Now it is time to transition from money to people. From this moment forward and until your dream is realized, you will never again think about the money and especially how you'll spend it. Your sole focus will be finding these people. Now get clear and make a solemn commitment to the power that governs abundance that your greatest desire is to bless the lives of these people. This can be a difficult transition for some. It can be a basic paradigm shift. Now it's time to apply mental rehearsal. Much like you have fantasized with vividness, go into the future. Identify an event where you could be singularly recognized for your extraordinary accomplishments. While in fantasy, no one need tell you how the visualization will unfold because of a deep desire to have that thing and prematurely experience it. However, now your desire is to find, serve, and bless the lives of a certain number of people. So close your eyes. I want you to see yourself walking up on the stage. You're well prepared for this presentation, complete with a well-designed PowerPoint presentation. You're a little nervous, so you pause, take a deep breath, and look over the audience. You glance down at the front row, and there they are, your people. A flood of emotions envelops you as you instantly recall in one instant the time, hard work, focus, energy, concern, and attention you've invested to find them and bless their lives. Each one of these extraordinary people has a unique story. Each meeting was a unique experience. You have sacrificed a great deal to find them and share your product or service with them. They have been extraordinarily brave. As you have served them, you have grown to love them. Can you see them? You abandon your speech and just start talking about each of these individuals, calling them by name and sharing how you found them, how you sold them. What a blessing each is in your life, friends for life. If you are saying, I never feel that way about others, this may be a pivotal moment for you. If you're wondering if this is all craziness, know that the power that governs abundance will join you in the rehearsal if your desire is to bless the lives of these people. It will manifest ideas, impressions, and solutions to challenges if you're open to receive. A focus on how you've served these people. What did you say and do to gain their trust? What were they doing prior to meeting you? What details do you know about each of their lives? As you talk about each of these individuals, how are they responding? Any tears of joy? Are you feeling this joy? Are you receiving impressions, ideas, and solutions to challenges? Pay attention. Are you getting excited about these people? Are you getting excited to find them? If you're experiencing them as clearly as you experience a Ferrari, a Learjet, or a life free of stress, you'll begin to feel passion being ignited. You will feel a fire in your belly, a burning desire to bring this joyful moment into tangible reality. Now open your eyes and write a personal letter. Now you know the kind of person you're looking for. Now you know their hopes and dreams, pains and disappointments. Now you know what their families are like, the challenges they face, the places where they work, and the kinds of work they do. Begin by writing a letter to them. Pour out your heart about your desire to serve them. Tell them what you know about them. Tell them all about your products and services. Tell them about the benefits of working with you. Ask them what you would need to say to reach them and break through their skepticism and fear. Now sit back and be still. You have sent a question into the universe that can be answered. Trust. Trust the ideas, the impressions, and the solutions that come. The power that governs abundance communicates by manifesting ideas, impressions, and solutions. So be open. Surrender. Trust, listen, and record what comes. Now let's pause for a moment because it's highly likely that you may be experiencing some confusion or doubt. You may be questioning how this works or if it works at all. When in fantasy we are so intently focused on the future event that everything unfolds effortlessly. We could even believe that somehow magically that which we visualize will manifest in tangible reality. There is just enough truth in this millionaire magic doctrine that we may have been engaged in this practice but without receiving the desired results. Some well-intentioned teachers may have even taught you that you must let go of scarcity and unworthiness and self-doubt and believe that you are worthy to receive. Yet it doesn't come. What's wrong? Why is it not working? Is there something wrong with you? The answer is maybe, but most likely not. The challenge is not in you, it's in the question you're asking. Is there a power that will manifest? The answer is yes. What it manifests and how it manifests is what we are currently exploring. This is not entirely new. It's just the correct application of your gift to visualize. With the same desire you wanted this power to manifest a Lamborghini, desire for the manifestation of ideas, impressions, and solutions that will bless the lives of others. Ask this question and you will receive ideas, impressions, and solutions. That is what this power manifests at this stage of the creation process. If it just manifested the Lamborghini, you'd be robbed of the need for involvement and passion and action and investment and a sense of accomplishment and eventually joy. Be at peace and receive. One more comment on impressions. Impressions can sometimes feel like tangents. You may even ask, what is this all about? When you've asked for guidance and your mind wanders, follow it. It may be the power that governs abundance attempting to give you an impression. Now create a monthly goal. To meet your annual goal, how many people will you need to find this month? Get clear and write it down. Now identify specific prospecting activities, newspaper, online ads, flyers, network events, conferences, special promotions, unique activities, etc. Begin identifying specific actions needed for each. For example, writing an ad, as discussed in the section on exploration. Assign that task to a specific week. Invest your mental time focusing. Mentally rehearsing, seeking inspiration instead of fantasizing or catastrophizing. There are literally hours available in each day for the one who disciplines their mind to think constructively. Now at a high level ask, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve others? This process will assist you in identifying ideas that need further focus and attention. As you seek to serve others, the people you have already seen in your dream, you will receive ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges that will ignite your passion and sustain your effort. Consider this. An annual goal with a vision, supported by a monthly goal with a vision, and in each case a vision that is igniting passion. Again, this may seem like work. It may for a while, until you become as addicted to passion and joy as you may have been to fantasy-driven norepinephrine. It's a very powerful drug. Passion and joy are much sweeter. In time, you'll discipline your mind to naturally support you in this creation process. Now create your weekly plan, which is born out of your monthly plan. You'll have a list of action items for the week. Assign them to specific days. if you have overfocused systemic thoughts, they may resist the discipline and structure needed to schedule and keep a schedule. So listen for these sabotaging thought processes and consciously make the decision to follow your plan regardless of the level of resistance. It can be very harsh for a while. If you experience this resistance, you have just met one of the enemies of success. I will discuss this at length in quality number 4, discipline and structure. For now, be valiant and fight by revisiting your annual goal. Visualize the people you will serve. Feel their lives being blessed by your efforts. Reignite your passion. Reflect on how your monthly and weekly goals will facilitate this reality. Ask the questions again. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? The spark of a new idea, an impression or solution to a challenge will also reignite your passion. Remember why you're doing what you're doing. Passion will sustain action. If you're not experiencing passion, it's an indication that fantasy and catastrophe want to edge their way back into your life. Pause and find a quiet place and visualize with more intent about the people you will serve and ways in which you can serve them. This is the secret to connecting with the power that governs abundance and a request that never goes unanswered. Now it is time to create your daily plan, the most important of all of the plans. You'll want to start each day with some quiet time. You may want to rise early in the morning to accomplish this. During sleep, our minds become clearer and we regain perspective. This is a sacred time for reflection and recommitment. This is the last time this day will ever happen. It is time to decide how you will invest it. As Og writes, "I will seal up its container of life so that not one drop spills upon the sand." We'll start by getting clear about your dreams for the year, month, and for the week. This is the why for taking action. Paper in hand, make a list of the important events and tasks and assignments, etc. for the day. You'll want to quickly transform this to-do list into a creation list. A creation list is a statement of the things we want to get to and choose to proactively create in the limited time we have been given each day. It is important to note that rest is imperative. We are mere mortals. You'll want to include intentional naps and playtime. Balance is essential to abundance. Now, with your list complete, select the most important item. Ask the 3 questions. What can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? Be still and ready to receive ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. You know, the more successful you are at quieting your sabotaging thought processes, the clearer the inspiration. Well, write down keywords from your impressions next to the item. For example, you've got a meeting. Create connection, a safe place, open up, as in having them open up. Freely explore possibilities, identify the elephants in the room. Those are the obstacles that will keep this person from taking action. Write all of these key phrases down as they come to you. Next, explore how you can create this. Mentally rehearse the event. Be open to receiving. Remember the light switches and tomato story I shared earlier? You know, even though they were not used in the meeting, they served as a critical attitude adjuster in preparation for the meeting, an attitude that helped facilitate the desired result. And lastly, consider how this will serve. Step into the world of each important person that will be in attendance. What do they need? What is important to them? How could you use your ideas to serve them? As these ideas, impressions, and solutions manifest, passion will be ignited, creating excitement to take it on and create something extraordinary. There also may be weekly and monthly items on your daily list that are crying out for creative thought and consideration, such as planning your Friday night date or a presentation in 2 days. Dedicate a few minutes to visualize these events to initiate the process. Not good to wait until the last minute. Seeking guidance on your timeline may result in a grand disappointment. Now, after you've done this, end your session by reading from a good book. Feed your mind. And at the end, make the commitment to continue the process by stating, "And if there is anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them." As you launch into your day, keep the 5 mental creative processes alive. And each time you're tempted to fantasize or catastrophize, say, and aloud if needed, "Not today. We are not going there today. I am staying in creation." The last area of goal setting and planning is creating value as an employee. You know, some people do just enough to not get fired and then are paid just enough to not quit. You know, some choose to blame bosses and managers and coworkers and even the owners for miserable working conditions or a lack of recognition or poor pay. You know, one of the primary reasons for a person staying in an unpleasant job is the need for the health insurance. Oh, sad and energy-draining scenarios. There are others who step into the workplace and choose to create something very different. They are a breath of fresh air. They catch the vision of creating excellence in all that they do and understand that there is a direct relationship between how well they do a job and how they feel about themselves. They experience a sense of accomplishment, a renewal, they have growth and joy and have energy to spare. They find good in everyone and everything. They choose to avoid gossip. They willingly take on tasks. They understand the relationship between the quality of work they do and the remuneration received. And the wisest of all understand the relationship between the quality of what they do and the profitability of the company. You know, they work as if they own the place. They're conservative in their use of company assets, from pencils to maintaining heavy equipment. They do not feel entitled. They instead choose to empower. They are givers and not takers. They know that their mood is contagious and can negatively impact anyone else. They would never knowingly bring swine flu into the workplace, and they would never knowingly bring an infectious bad attitude. They are the same people who have a fun and active life after work. They are still energized, having not wasted energy complaining and criticizing and catastrophizing. They are a joy to be around and often gravitate to positions of responsibility. If you're an employee, strive to make yourself irreplaceable. A few years ago, I agreed to mentor the son of an executive I had been working with. During one of the coaching sessions, I arranged for this young man to interview a neighbor of mine, an entrepreneur who was in his late 30s at the time. He was very successful with an income just short of 8 figures, and he'd also had a hobby in common with my client and had discovered how to build a very profitable business around this hobby. Inspiring for any aspiring youth. Well, we sat at his family room, and the young man asked several questions. I remember 2 questions and the answers given. The first question was, "How many books do you read each week?" The answer, "I've only read 30 to 50 books I really love and from which I'm able to glean truth as I know it." I was a little surprised by that. The second question, "How did you become so successful?" The answer, "I started as a copywriter, minimum wage, while going to school. On my own time, I studied how to write ads and study the demo and psychographics of our clients. By the end of 1 year, my ads were so successful that they couldn't do without me, and I made them an offer they could not refuse if they wanted to keep me." He continued, "I dedicated every weekend." Now listen to this. "I dedicated every weekend after that, learning a new software program. I even took basic programming classes. I mastered everything that anyone would need to know to make that business successful." It wasn't long and they made me a partner. I quit college and kept learning about the business. He concluded with this. When partners came in with ideas that they wanted to try, I already knew if they would or wouldn't work. If not, we freed them to go and pursue their dreams with the condition that they would leave their partnership interest on the table. It wasn't long, and I owned the company. Copywriter to owner. Do you ever find yourself spinning your wheels and just going through the motions? Do you wish you could quit your job or fire your boss? First, practice being your own boss within the confines of your current employment. Fall back in love with your job. Bring energy and creativity to the workplace. Bring a positive can-do attitude. Make a difference and without the need to be noticed. You will create miracles in your life. And the greatest one of all is feeling better about yourself. Use the same steps I outlined for building a business. Set a realistic goal and focus on serving people. Do it long enough, and you'll discover one of two things. One, your concerns had more to do with the attitude brought to the workplace. Or two, you're working in the wrong place. Trust that most bosses notice when someone cares about what they do. If bosses don't, owners will. The cream does rise to the top. Any chance you're thinking, this is just a little naive? Is it? I challenge you to surrender and try it. Discover the joy that comes from doing a job well. You might even experience a financial reward. Now, in summary, this quality contains a lot of information. Some of this information may be difficult to digest on the first exposure. Please listen to this section over and over again, especially if you've been struggling with fantasy and imagined catastrophe or counterfeit pleasure. When all of this has been said, this quality can be summarized into two paragraphs. When we choose to use this sacred space of our mind to mentally rehearse, receive inspiration, explore, problem solve, and plan and set goals, we will create a vision that ignites passion that drives discipline, focus, effort, and action. When we actively participate with our partner in this sacred process of mental creation, this power assists us by manifesting inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. Conversely, when we choose to engage this gift in fantasy, imagined catastrophe, and counterfeit pleasure, we foster fear and are destined to perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights.